Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for tuning into this podcast each and every week. Throughout the season, I'll be progressing my way through the alphabet from A to Z, where I'll be featuring bands or musicians going in alphabetical order. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyrights. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. It is my hope for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast. And I can't emphasize this enough. Please, please go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support. My only goal is that I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So here we are again. It is part two of two. It is the second part of our top 20 of 2020, something I probably should have done many months ago, but you know, you get around to it when you get around to it. And it's been a lot of fun going back through last year's archives and listening to the great music that came out. Interesting year of music. I'm sure a lot of bands held back their albums of release for this year that may have come out last year. So there's a lot of really good music that is already come out in 2021 and is scheduled to come out this year. So I think it's going to be a jam-packed year of music in 2021. But still, some awesome stuff came out last year, and we are counting down the list to number one. What we just heard on the opening act was the Australian punk rock band The Chats and their album that came out last year, High Risk Behavior, and the song Stinker. Really like that album. Did not make my top 20, but I just wanted to highlight that because I think it's a pretty solid album, and I do encourage you to check out the whole thing. But let's get to the top 10. We are now at the top 10, and we're going to be counting down from 10 to 1 on this episode. If you haven't heard the first part of this episode, I encourage you to go back to last week's episode where I did I counted down from 20 to 11. And just to recap, we should do that probably. At number 20, we had Green Day with their album Father of All. At number 19, I had Joe Satriani in his album Shapeshifting. At number 18, I had Deep Purple and the album Whoosh. At number 17, there I had Ace Frehley and his album Origins Volume 2. At number 16, I had The Pretenders and their album Hate for Sale. At number 15, I had The Strokes and their album The New Abnormal. At number 14, I had Blue Oyster Cult and the album The Symbol Remains. At number 13, I had Paul McCartney and his album McCartney 3. And number 12, I had The Night Flight Orchestra and their album Aromantic. And at number 11, the band X and their album Alphabet Land. So here we go. We're going to get down to the top 10, and I think you're going to enjoy this list. So coming in at number 10, and again, this might be considered with some people a little problematic, and I have to put aside the whole issue of... I have a problem sometimes when it comes to separating the whole thing around separating the artist from the person. Marilyn Manson obviously has been under the spotlight a lot in the past, I think, 4 or 5 months. A lot of accusations. and I will admit I am struggling with it. He's probably a horrible person. He's an abuser, and he doesn't deserve to be awarded any notoriety or any accolades. So I'll admit I'm someone that is struggling with this whole thing about whether I or not I should have even included him on this list. Problem is, I can't deny that when this album came out, which was his album titled We Are Chaos, which came out on September 11th last year, I just fell in love with this album. I think it's an amazing work of art. So, as you can tell, I struggle with things like this. And despite the fact that I truly believe he probably is a horrible person for the things that he has done, I still do listen to this album, and I believe that it is one of his best creations ever. So, again, yes, if this bothers you that I put his album on this list, I completely understand why you might want to turn off this podcast and never listen to me again. So I am sorry for that. But I can't deny that the guy is still, in my book, a musical genius. But I struggle with it. And maybe there'll be a time where I will stop listening to his music because it's just I can't deal with, you know, how I feel about what his actions do to people. So I'm working on it. It's something that I am personally working on. But right now, I'm going to put aside the person from the artist and talk about this album just for a moment. Because this album, I think, is, like I said, a real work of art. It's a departure from a lot of his hard rock and industrial metal sounding albums. It's more 80s synth rock oriented. Think Depeche Mode, The Cure. Strong influences of Aladdin Sane Air, David Bowie. Love the production on this album. It sounds so hypnotic. And sonically, it, like I said, it's a bit of a departure. It's more subdued than his other releases. But it's beautiful in its gloomy, melodic sorrow. So the song I'm picking from this is Halfway and One Step Forward. And I hope you can enjoy the song for what it is. Here we go.
Tomorrow.
That was Marilyn Manson with Halfway and One Step Forward. Let's quickly move on to the next song. And up next is the Psychedelic Furs. And they came out with their 8th studio album, their first in 29 years. The first since 1991's World Outside. The album's titled Made of Rain. And now this, if you remember, if you listened to last week's show, I kind of made a little error in my, what I said last week, but this, about the year, but this is the band that was heavily referenced in that last episode, the song by The Strokes, Eternal Summer. So if you go back and listen to last week's episode, I played the song Eternal Summer by The Strokes. And the song that they were sampling, like not really so much a sample, but they were heavily referencing the song "The Ghost in You" by the Psychedelic Furs, and it's a song that I just really, really have always loved by them. But anyways, this is their first album, like I said, in 29 years, and they just sound amazing. And like, where have they been? Now, actually, the Psychedelic Furs, you know, they just pretty much disbanded in the early 90s. But despite kind of being away from the studio for all that time, the lead singer, Richard, he's kept pretty busy. So the Furs still comprise of original members, Richard and Tim Butler. Richard's vocals haven't really aged one iota in all this time. And also back is saxophonist Mars Williams, who's played on a couple of those 80s albums. But let me get back to what I was saying. So Richard's kept pretty busy. He formed another band after the Psychedelic Furs kind of went on a hiatus. And that band was around in the 90s called Love Spit Love, which was decent. I didn't listen to them all that much, so I'm not that familiar with them. But they have a couple songs that I remember. And around the turn of the century, they did reform the Psychedelic Furs, and they became basically a touring band capitalizing on their legacy status for like the past 20 years. So, you know, they've been around, and they're a band that I've never caught in concert, and I would love to, especially if they're going to be touring on this album, you know, once concerts come back again. So anyways, this song that we're going to play is called Come All Ye Faithful, and it is just a classic-sounding Psychedelic Furs song. It's twisted and nightmarish. It's just wonderful. And the sax on this is great. Mars Williams is treading into some jazz fusion territory with this song. It's really strange, but it's just vintage sounding Furs all the way. So I hope you enjoy this one.
Shine a light on me, come all you faithful, ye holy rollers, and shine a light on me. Thank you.
I lied. I never really loved you. I was laughing at you all the time. When I said I needed you, I lied. I never needed anyone. I laughed until I cried. Shine a light on, and shine a light on me. Come all ye playboys, ye druggy mothers, and shine a light on me. When I said I loved you, when I lied, I never really loved you. I was laughing at you all the time. When I said I needed you, I lied. I never needed anyone. I laughed until I cried.
Up next at number 8 is Chris Cornell, and the album is No One Sings Like You Anymore, Volume 1. Now, as you know, Chris Cornell left us back on May 18th, 2017, which makes this album a very bittersweet listening experience. I will say, though, that of the two covers albums on this list, this one is far superior. The Ace Frehley album, I think, was, what number was that number? I forget what it was, but I think this is a much better of the two. The title of this album is a reference to the line from the Soundgarden song, Black Hole Sun. And the song that I'm picking off of this is, there's several on here that I think are really, really fantastic. But the one that really spoke to me was his cover of the Harry Nilsson classic, Jump Into the Fire. And I love Harry Nilsson, as you know. I've mentioned this several times on the podcast. And someday I have to do a whole Harry Nilsson episode. But his version of Jump Into Fire is on this album. And it's nothing that's new to fans of Chris Cornell. He actually performed it quite a few times when he was touring with Temple of the Dog back in, I think, 2015, 2016, and there, if you go to the YouTubes, you'll see some of those live performances there. They're really great. So, you know, you can go check those out. So anyways, really, really solid cover of this. And you know what? Let's leave it right there. Listen to this. I think you'll love it.
Free. You can shake me up. For I
right. So that was that number 8, Chris Cornell, his cover of Harry Nilsson's Jump Into the Fire. And I should also mention that came out on December 11th of last year. That was right at the end of the year, maybe one of the last albums that I picked up before the end of the year. So, all right, we are going to move on to number 7, releasing his 20th studio release is Bruce Springsteen. And his album, Letter to You, which came out on October 23rd of last year. It was produced by Bruce Springsteen and Ron Aniello. Did I say it came out on October 23rd? I think I did. I'm not sure. really like this album. I think it washes the taste of his 2019 Western Stars out of my mouth because I love Bruce Springsteen, but I was not a fan of that last album. It was probably because it was just a little too country for my blood. And, you know, I'm just not a country music fan. And not that that album was country music, but it just treaded a little too far into that territory for me. And I just, you know, it just didn't work for me. Anyways, well, he assembled the world's best bar band, you know, back again, minus, of course, you know, there's no Clarence Clemons. We lost him about 10 years, well, actually 9 years ago now. But I think it's his nephew, Jay Clemons, that took over the role of saxophonist back in 2015. So this might be his second album with the E Street Band. But he, you know, of course, he's filling in, you know, nicely with them. He's no Clarence, but, you know, who is? Well, they've been doing this for 48 years, and you can tell by this album, they are just a finely tuned, well-oiled machine at this point. This album is very intimate. It's a meditative album, more than usual, actually. Maybe it's you know, my sentimentality that I'm feeling, but it's just very intimate and meditative. When I listen to this, and I have several times over the last 4 or 5 months, it's really, really speaking to me. And it just speaks to my soul. It was recorded pre-pandemic, I think in October, November of 2019, but it just sounds like it was written and recorded in the midst of it. So the song that I am picking is this really wonderful tune called House of a Thousand Guitars. It is my favorite song on this album. I hope you enjoy it.
Across the veil, bells ring out through churches and jails. I tally my wounds and count the scars in the house of a thousand guitars. The criminal clown has stolen the throne. He steals what he can never own. May the truth ring out from every small town bar. We'll light up the house of a thousand guitars. Well, it's all right, yeah, it's all right. Meet me, darling, come Saturday night. All good souls from near and far will meet in the house of a thousand guitars.
Saturday night.
small town bars. We'll light at the house of a thousand guitars. House of a thousand guitars, house of a thousand guitars. Brother and sister, wherever you are, we'll rise together till we fire the spark that'll light up the house of a thousand guitars.
All right, so that was that number 7, Bruce Springsteen and House of a Thousand Guitars. Guitars. All right, moving on to number 6. And this one is a band that a lot of people probably maybe have never heard of. They're called Cyclona. And their album is titled Venus Sky Trip, which came out on August 21st of 2020, last year. This was their third release. They are a stoner rock, desert rock outfit from West Yorkshire, United Kingdom. Best way of describing them, they are kind of a desert rock band with heavy guitars, heavy distortion sounds, lots of great power chords, huge sound, heavy sound. Thinking if you love bands like Caius or early Queens of the Stone Age, you'll love them. But they're a bit more anthemic sounding. This album, Venus Sky Trip, it's a killer album. I discovered them perusing through Bandcamp last year. And so I discovered them for the first time then. Like I said, I think I said this is their third studio release. The song that I am going to play for you that I think is a really good example of this album is a song called Blow, which I hope you like. I'm really into this band, which is why they're already up to number 6 on this list. I hope you love this one. Again, this is Blow.
Yeah.
All right. That was Cyclona and their song Blow off of Venus Skytrip. All right. So before I move on, I just want to take a brief moment since we're about halfway through the episode and thank you once again for tuning into the show and say how much I appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener or subscriber to my podcast. And I just want to say this again, if you love these shows, I'd love to hear from you. There's an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can always reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. The show is available on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe and give it a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. I don't care. Whatever you use, those ratings and reviews play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right, moving on to number five. And in at number five comes Pearl Jam and their album Gigaton, which came out on March 27th of 2020. And I remember this was the first album that I picked up right when the world was shutting down. This album was co-produced by Pearl Jam and Josh Evans. Now, this is their 11th studio album, their first in 7 years since 2013's Lightning Bolt. Josh Evans is no stranger to Pearl Jam. He's been a longtime collaborator going back to 2006 when he was an assistant engineer on the Avocado album. That was their self-titled album. And I was reading an article that what he was actually doing as an assistant engineer was basically fetching sandwiches, cleaning toilets, and occasionally setting up gear. Apparently, that's what an assistant engineer does for Pearl Jam. But he's come a long way because he's now co-producer on their 11th album. It's been decades since Pearl Jam has given a damn about selling records, and they probably never did, which is what I've always loved about them. They just do Pearl Jam, and they've never trying to keep up with any type of trend. And it's really what I love about them. This album is no different. It delivers what you'd expect from them. It's a solid variety of introspective songs and songs that open up and do rock out occasionally. Not as many whaley sounding vocals from Eddie Vedder as there would be on some other Pearl Jam albums. Although the song I'm going to play does have some of that. But this song I'm playing, which is titled Comes Then Goes, is a heartfelt acoustic ballad that has stuck with me throughout all of last year. So I'm going to go with it, even though it's not one that is like a hard rock song. And there are some on here that do fall into that category. But I'm going to go with this one for this episode because it really does speak to me. So this is Comes Then Goes.
High or low, where'd you go? Are you stuck in the middle? A spectral, invisible ghost. I'm here juxtaposed, like images of angels in the snow. Our courage melts away. Where you been? Can I find a glimpse of my friend? Don't know where or when one of us left the other behind. Divisions came and troubles multiplied. Incisions made by scalpel. My altered perception's unclear. self-neglecting again. Like you, I keep it in. Thought you found a game where you could win. Yeah, it's all vivisection.
All right, so that was Pearl Jam at number 5, and the song Comes Then Goes. So moving on to number 4, we're getting really close to number 1 album. And at number 4 is the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, and his 12th studio album titled Ordinary Man, which came out on February 21st of last year. This was his first solo album since 2010, Scream, which was separated by 10 years. It took him 10 years to do another solo album. And 7 years since that last Black Sabbath album, 13. It's overall Ozzy's 22nd studio album between his solo work and Black Sabbath. You know, I read lots of negativity toward this album, which I really never really understood. I love it, obviously, because it's at number 4. I don't care how much or how little Ozzy contributes to his albums. He's always assembles an all-star lineup. This particular album features a talented lineup with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on drums and Duff McKagan on bass. It's extremely well-produced and polished, which is nothing new. And, you know, Ozzy still has just a great ear And this album just sounds incredible. The song I'm playing is a little bit deeper into the album. It came down to two songs that I really was going back and forth on. Scary Green Men and Holy for Tonight. Both those songs are two of my favorites on this album, and I really kind of debated which one to play. I'm going to go with Scary Green Men just because I just love the weirdness of it. And also, it features Tom Morello on guitar for this song. So I'm going with it. I'm going with that just for that alone. So I hope you love this. This is Scary Little Green Men. That was Ozzy Osbourne and Scary Little Green Men. Love that song. All right, we are going to move on to number three. We're in the top three. And this one you might find as an interesting pick. It's not what I ever would have expected to be in my top three albums of 2020. But I can't deny the fact that this album I just keep returning to because it's just so bizarre. And it's one of the most bizarre collaborations I ever would have expected. So the band name is Deep Lips. It is a collaboration of two bands. It is the collaboration of The Flaming Lips and Deep Valley. Now, Deep Valley might not be a household name. I know most people know who The Flaming Lips are, but Deep Valley, they are an Oklahoma-based two-piece indie rock outfit consisting of Lindsey Troy on guitar and vocals and Julie Edwards on drums. It's a very similar to the White Stripes formula. Deep Lips, though, consists of The Flaming Lips members Wayne Coyne and Steve Adrods and the two members of Deep Valley. It's quite the collaboration that just needs to be heard to be understood. I love this album, and I found it 10 times better than the solo Flaming Lips release, which also came out last year. And spoiler alert, it didn't make my top 20 from last year, which you probably already guessed. This song, titled Hope Hell High, is a deadly tune that has become a bit of an earworm for me lately, and maybe it will for you too. So here is Hope Hell High.
Yeah, it's a bitch, boy, just how hard it is to change. Give me hope, give me hell, and get me high along the way. Yeah, it's a long road, but I'm leaving here today. Blam, 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 blam
So, yeah, that happened. That was Deep Lips with Hope Hell High. And technically, it's a separate track. And the track after that, of course, is titled Motherfuckers Got to Go. And I couldn't not play part two of that, even though it's technically another track on it. They go hand in hand, obviously. So we had to play those. So you got a little bonus song, folks. So hope you enjoyed that one. And you'll be singing that all day long, because it just needs to be, I think. I hope that one just made your day, because the whole album, I think, is fun like that. So anyways, up to number two, we have AC/DC, which came out with their 17th studio release titled Power Up. It is their first release since 2014's Rock or Bust. And what a rough decade it's been for AC/DC. I don't even know where to begin. You got the unfortunate death of Malcolm Young. We didn't know if Brian Johnson was going to have to retire altogether because of his hearing issues. And then there's all the drama surrounding Phil Rudd. You've got Axl Rose in the band for a bit. You know, that can't be good. It's really a miracle this album even exists. Now, I think Power Up is infinitely better than either Black Ice or Rock or Bust. I mean, it just comes down to the songs. You know, maybe it's because the band went back to the archives and worked off of unfinished songs and demos that Malcolm had been involved in. My favorite song is Demon Fire, which I already highlighted several months back on a new release spotlight episode. So I'm not going to play that again, but song I am going to play is titled Rejection. It's the second track on this album. It's a killer song. Oh, I'll take it. This whole album, it really is the rock album of the year. It saved rock and roll in 2020. It's a tight album. It's 41 minutes long. All killer, no filler. When AC/DC drops an album, it's like a visit from an old friend. I love this. I hope all of you do too. Let's check out Rejection. was AC/DC and their song Rejection. All right, drum roll, please. I don't have a drum roll sound effect, but that's okay. We are up to number one. And if you had been listening to my podcast from last year, there's probably, you may already know what my number one album is, because there is one album I really gushed over probably more than any other in one of my new release spotlights. Releasing their 11th studio album last year, it came out on November 27th. It is their second double album of their career. It is the Smashing Pumpkins in their album titled Cyr. However you want to say it, I don't know. I've been calling it Cyr. I consider it a double album since when it was released on vinyl, it was issued on two vinyl records. So technically it's their second double album of their career. Obviously Melancholy was, you know, which came out in, I think, 95 now. Wow. Oh my God. 25 years ago, 26 years ago now. Wow. That's crazy. It features the reunited lineup of, with Jimmy Chamberlin and James Iha, who joined up back with the Pumpkins in the last few years. It's an extremely different direction for the band. None of those heavy thrashing guitars. It's a brooding synth pop, dream pop album full of atmosphere and texture. You really need to be on this album's wavelength to appreciate it. It's not for old school Pumpkin fans. If you appreciate them branching out into new directions, this is a very interesting album. Half the songs, I remember, were released as singles prior to this album coming out. There's 20 songs, and 10 of them, they dropped as singles leading into this. I love this album. I probably have listened to this more than anything else since it came out. And I think I said this came out on November 27th. So I really dig this so much. And I'm really, really... I have no qualms with naming this as my number one album of last year. And I just love the fact that Billy Corgan and the company have the guts to put something like this out. Because this is, like I said, nothing like they have ever done before. Completely burying guitars in this. So here we go. The song I'm going to pick from this is called Adrenaline. Adrenaline. I'm going to say Adrenaline. I think you're going to love this if you're into my kind of music. Again, you know, I come from like 80s, new wave, alt rock sound. And, you know, so much that is coming around right now is paying homage to the 80s. You know, goth rock, synth pop, you know, these bands are doing this now. You've got Psychedelic Furs coming out with music again. You've got all these homages to early 80s bands, you know, paying homage to like Psychedelic Furs, Duran Duran. There's so much of that happening right now that this is like, I'm a kid in the candy store. What's happening? Like when I even referenced Marilyn Manson before, the music he is putting out now is completely referencing the 80s, the Strokes song that I played from last episode. You know, they were referencing the Psychedelic Furs, their 80s output. It's all so much right now is being derived from the 80s. It's in this era of music. And this is what the Pumpkins are doing as well. So, anyways, I just find that a fascinating trend that's happening right now. So anyways, I hope you enjoy this. It's been fun going through this list, and check this one out.
Shout but stand of you. Surrender.
All right. That was the Smashing Pumpkins and Adrenaline. And there you have it. That was my top 10 of 2020. In fact, in all together, my top 20 of 2020. And I hope you've enjoyed my list. This has been a lot of fun assembling this. And next episode, we're going to start getting into some of the bands from A to Z. I'm looking forward to that. I've already done my outline for the season of what I'm going to be doing. So I can't wait. I'm going to kind of keep it a mystery and a surprise what we're going to do. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, you know, again, like I said, I want to get some feedback on these shows. I really do. If you've been listening to this, please reach out to me. I want to hear what your number one album of 2020 was. I really do, you know. So send me an email, a message. You can, you know, or send an audio recording. You know, maybe I'll play something on the show. You know, I love to hear from you guys. I hope you've enjoyed this this week's episode. You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me. Also, please don't hesitate to reach out on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. Like I said, I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize that there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me on this show. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, and have a great week, everyone.